You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. I'm closer to where I started.
/7:32 on a Thursday. We're going to talk hazing. But you have to listen to my favorite part of the song. John Ubaldi joins us from Florida. We were just talking about, both of us are natives of California, Northern California, actually, Sacramento area. And neither one of us can recall a... Hold on, here's the best part of the song. Okay, enough of that. Neither one of us could either of us recall a fire that has had so many fatalities in it. And I guess the fire started at night. In Southern California, there's a condition known as Santa Ana, where the wind actually comes out of the east off the desert. And it is hot wind blowing. And when you already have drought conditions that have dried a lot of stuff out, it only dries it out even more. And then the littlest spark creates big fires. And if it happens in an area where there hasn't been a fire, there's plenty of fuel. Happened at Camp Pendleton the other, I can't remember how many years ago, but it was some of the pictures from that are spectacular. Just a wall of fire coming over the mountains from inland towards, you know, the mountains that separate the inland Camp Pendleton from coastal Camp Pendleton. And at night, it was just incredible pictures of the fire because it hadn't been burning so long and so much fuel. But we were just talking about that. 20 people killed was the last number I heard, and they said that number, they were sure that would go up as they went looking for people. So pretty.
It is horrific. The last big fire that I remember was, I think it was in the mid 90s when they had the Oakland Hills fire. And that was because of all the vegetation. A lot of the trees are non-native, the eucalyptus oil-based. And I grew up in Marin County. My parents used to live in Sonoma, and it's dry. A lot of eucalyptus trees.
I hate those
which
things.
They just add fuel to the fire. They're just a worthless tree.
Yeah, I hate them. They're Australian. Get them out of here. And you know what? They're dirty trees, too. They shed like crazy.
Oh,
they destroy everything. I'm anti-eucalyptus tree. So, anyway.
And they're very brittle. They're very brittle.
That's good. That way they pull out of the ground easier. I wanted to have you on this morning and talk about hazing. Big article yesterday in Marine Corps Times talking about the 1st Marine Division and Major General Smith's, essentially he's declared war on hazing in the division. To the extent, given a letter that he had written, he's actually being accused of undue influence in some of these cases.
Correct.
So anyway, so I wanted to have you on because this is, and you, I want your opinion. Hazing is not an officer thing. Now I know when I hear, I can hear the commandant, Mac, it's a Marine thing. We're all got a stake in it. Yeah, I got it, sir. But truth be known, I'm three levels away from this when it goes on. The closest I can be is two levels away, which is a platoon commander through a squad leader, through a platoon sergeant, through a squad leader, are all supposed to be on this before I am. Okay? And then it gets progressively worse. So, would you disagree with that hazing is an enlisted thing?
It's mainly, and I would agree, it's mainly down to the enlisted ranks. Commanders can have, it's the way they set up their command climate, but it's pretty much down on the enlisted level. I think everybody goes to that that one movie with Jack Nicholson. I can't think of the name with Tom Cruise in it when he makes that statement in the court. Everybody looks at that, but primarily I've seen it down to...
Hold on, what? You mean this statement?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
That one?
That's the one. Few good men.
That's awesome. I remember the first time that I saw that. I just remember saying, fuck yes, you punk, Tom Cruise, Navy lawyer goof. Anyway, so you don't disagree that, I mean, commanders can set, overall tones, but, and you're never going to wipe it out. I mean, because there's this huge story today of hazing at LSU, where somebody pledging to something, you know, was killed in an alcohol related, hazing event. So, knowing that you never, and again, especially in the Marine Corps, where 60% of the force is under the age of 26, you're dealing with college age people, and this. So, I'm gonna ask you four questions. Hazing, what are we talking about? What is it? You were an 0311 and an 0369. When we talk about hazing, Master Guns, in your head, what do you see?
When I see hazing, is just like when they talk about it, I guess people can define it or how they look at it, is when I came in, is you used to get, when you get promoted, they used to slug you in the shoulder. When you got your blood stripe, or when you picked up corporal, you got kneed in the thigh. But we also have to go back and look at the history of hazing. A lot of these problems came up pretty readily in the mid-90s when a lot of commands went overboard. We know about when you've got your jump wings, they used to pin it into your chest. That can be constituted as hazing as defined by the Marine Corps.
Okay, let me stop you, but we used to do that in public. You know, I know the video of the guys at 8th and I doing that in the shower and all the rest of that nonsense that went on TV. But I will tell you, as a company commander in 1994, when I promoted, I pounded that shit right into their collarbone in front of everybody.
But the difference is when you did that, it was in a controlled manner. I've seen it done, if they did it to me in formation, it was just part of it.
Right.
When you had elements in the shower, that's when you throw alcohol in it, they had videos out. That's when leadership breaks down. We all know this happened. That was the way it was, but it was always done in a controlled manner. When I picked up corporal, I was in the infantry.
Okay, hold on. So let me stop. So one element is that it's uncontrolled.
Correct.
Okay.
The ones that get the hazing, it's uncontrolled, and that's where the leadership breaks down. I go back to when I picked up corporal, I was kneed in the thigh. We had a platoon sergeant. He goes, okay, stop. You got your thing in, enough's enough, and we moved. Everybody knew it. It was done in a controlled environment. It's when it goes out of that controlled environment, that's when the problem gets in. Not knowing the cases that General Smith is talking about,
right,
it's probably done in a non-controlled manner, and hazing never brings a unit together.
Okay, let me read you a text, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, what about hazing for new joins? What is that? So you're talking about hazing getting promoted, but one of the things we're talking about is the senior lance corporals, when the new privates and PFCs join, they go yoke their ass out of bed in the middle of the night. Talk to us about that. What is that?
I mean, you're always going to have that in any unit. It's a way to, I guess, to bring in the new guys in. I had that happen when I was in my first command, but it still was done there was a line that wasn't crossed. And sometimes you get these individuals who cross a line. I was in the unit, and I wasn't part of it. I was out of the area. I had a staff sergeant who promoted some Marines, and they need them in the legs so bad, these Marines couldn't go to work for a couple days. And when I found out about it, I chewed the guy's ass, because that's not what we do as leaders. And as a staff sergeant, that never should have happened. When you injure a Marine, that's going way above the line.
Okay. All right. So, but new guy initiation, do you think you can stop that in the Marine Corps?
No, you're never going to stop it.
Okay.
You know, it's part of the culture of the Marine Corps, but it can be controlled if leaders do their job as leaders.
Okay. All right. Next question. Why do they haze?
A lot of times, I think the theory is they bring them, they think that it brings them closer to the unit. They bring that cadre back in, and that's a failed assumption that that's going to make the unit tighter. It actually separates the unit from the closest system that they need.
Okay. All right. So it's going to bring – how about this one that I've heard? Hey, I went through it. They're going through it.
I've heard that many times before. It's just like when I, at my first command, I was leaving the unit. I remember his name. His name was Colonel Justin Miller. He fought in extensive combat in Vietnam. And he said, listen, just because you went through it doesn't mean they have to go through it. Make it better for your fellow Marines.
He didn't
and
say,
the one thing I always...
Interesting, he didn't say stop it, right?
No, he just said make it better. Just because you went through it doesn't mean they have to go through it. Try to make your Marine Corps better for the next generation coming up.
Okay, so why do they do it? It brings us better. I went through it. What other motivation is there?
I think it just comes down to they think it brings the unit closer together. They think of this is what Marines are. We're warriors. This is what we need to do. And a lot of times it's just that certain individuals have that vindictive nature. We all remember going to the gas chamber back in the day. You always had some Nazi sergeant, let's stick enough pain on you, and you didn't learn anything. Nobody learned anything. Going to the gas chamber today.
No, no, no. You learned something. What did you learn? Don't fuck with that sergeant, right?
Well, yeah, but did you learn anything about donning, clearing, and mask? You're just like, oh, this sucks.
Like we care about that.
Now
like we care about that. Okay. Yeah, you want to learn how to don and clear your mask? Go back to do it in your barracks room. You'll figure it the fuck out. But you learn the grander lesson of the Marine Corps. Don't fuck with the NBC dudes, because at some point they'll get you. Okay. So the two major reasons are I went through it and it brings us closer together. But I would submit to you there's a third one, not in new guy initiation, although it could be, because I haven't been there very long, but in when we do promotion shit, sometimes guys don't like guys, right? And this is when,
yeah.
I mean, you talk about when guys get hurt, and when you get a guy that a lot of guys don't like, and I go back to the era of the contract corporal, this guy doesn't rate to be a corporal, okay? He came from security forces. He signed a contract. He was guaranteed that he would be a corporal in X number of months, and a corporal he's going to be. And so Benson, who's probably the best fire team leader in the platoon, he's going to be but he's a Lance Corporal. He's going to go be, you know, a automatic rifleman again, because this yo-yo is going to be the fire team leader. And we ain't having that.
No,
we're not down with that, because we don't like this dude. That's, to me, when things get toxic, because there's grudge settling going on. It ain't just kind of ritual hazing and initiation and shit like that.
No, I would agree with that. I never even thought about that. But you're absolutely correct. I've seen that as well. You come into a unit. I was that. I came in from barracks duty. Went right back into the infantry, and they're like, I was the new guy, but I was already a Lance Corporal. So I wasn't hazed, but that wasn't exactly, I had to prove myself that I wasn't some dirtbag Lance Corporal, that I deserved to do the positions that I got.
Okay, so who hazes? Now, I want to talk about the modern Marine Corps. Who hazes in the modern Marine Corps? You get lecture after lecture after lecture about hazing. Who still hazes? Who says, hey, screw them? You know, Uvalde, I don't care what he says. He's gone. We're here. We run this place. It's ours. Let's go, boys.
It's still,
so who does
it? It's still down to the fire team leaders, squad leaders, and those Lance Corporals that you mentioned. It still happens down in those, because you're down in the close proximity of an infantry squad. You're far removed from the division, and you're out of the sight and sound of your platoon sergeant sometimes, or your first sergeant, and it still happens down at that level, because some of the units they mentioned in the article were all infantry units, and one, I think it was an amphibious assault unit.
So is it the proverbial senior Lance who's living in the barracks, who knows the deal, right, who's got one pump, one UDP to Okinawa under his belt? He's going to come back, and now he's running the show. He's going to set shit straight now. That's who we're talking about.
Well, it's also should be, too, that the Marine Corps has been at war proverbially since, what, 16, 17 years.
Yeah, but these guys haven't, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. You've got these Marines that who've been in combat coming back, and you've got these Marines coming out of the infantry schools coming into the unit for the first time. So you have combat vets and non-combat vets. Oh, this is how it's done. And that's where you get the hazing from there as well.
Yeah, but let me tell you, the Marine Corps hadn't been doing serious fighting since what, 2012, 2013? I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, but
it's been a while. Now, in 2017, if you don't have 5 years in the Marine Corps, you probably haven't been shot at. You don't have a combat action ribbon. So these guys, if you're a Lance Corporal, come on, you're not even close to it. Right? It's a history lesson for you. Okay, next question. And this is probably the key. Who do you see? Who's the key to all of this? And if you tell me it takes a village, I'm hanging up on you, okay? If you go Hillary Clinton on me, you will never be on the program again. I won't say stop it. How do you eliminate most of it? And who's the key person? And who's the key person in terms of eliminating it?
The way to eliminate it, to minimize it as much as can, it goes back to the leadership of those in senior enlisted down to like the fire team leader, the squad leader has to be leading. That's where you stop it. The platoon sergeants and below, that's where it stops. As an officer, you can say all you want. We tune you guys out anyway.
Wah, wah, wah. Right?
Yeah.
Hazing. Wah, wah, wah.
That's basically it.
Right.
It comes down from the enlisted of the platoon sergeants on down. That's where it stops.
Okay, so.
They're the ones who are closest to the, to it, even as a platoon commander. We tune you guys out when it comes to that. Here he goes again. But when the platoon sergeant speaks up and says some crap and really enforces it and enforces the squad leaders to do it, that's where it changes.
Oh, so that's the house of pain where the platoon sergeant is?
Platoon sergeant, squad leader, that any good unit, a platoon commander will know, any good unit has a great platoon sergeant.
And any shitty unit has a shitty platoon sergeant?
Pretty much. If the platoon sergeant is weak, it's going to be very difficult for that unit to be as effective as it needs to be.
Okay, so I bring you back. I commission you. I make you a captain. And you get told by the battalion commander, hey, Captain Uvalde, you got a hazing problem in your company. Okay. When you address hazing, you make your wah, wah, wah speech to the whole company, right? And then you're going to have a second meeting with key people. Who's in your meeting?
Platoon sergeant squad leaders.
Okay, let me ask you specifically. Are corporals, people say, down to the fire team leader. Corporal is are corporals too close to it? Are they too recently removed from participating in this stuff to turn around and stop it, the majority of them?
Some are, but most, I would say most aren't. But that goes back to you engage your platoon sergeant and squad leader, and then the squad leaders are supposed to engage their fire team leader. Just like when we were at MHC, you told me certain things, and I would go and get the Marines to do certain things.
Yeah, none of it happened ever, though. Crazy. We had
Looney
two times. Hey, Master Guns, can you go in there and find out who's screaming and they're going to kill somebody at the top of their lungs? Yes, sir, I'm on it. Then he'd come back. What happened? Oh, so-and-so's off his meds. All right, got it. You take care of that? Yes, sir. But that's what we dealt with. Holy shit. Okay, so let me walk through this here, and then I'll ask you for some closing comments. So you would focus on platoon sergeant and down. Most corporals aren't mature enough, although some will be, but the average corporal probably isn't mature enough as a leader to put an end to this. And so,
that's where they get the guidance. I remember when I was a fire team leader, my platoon sergeant fired me my squad leader fired me. Who's the sergeant? I remember his name. His name was Leslie Packer. Phenomenal squad leader. He fired me because he said you weren't tough enough. You needed some maturing. And that time, and he mentored me. And by the time I became a fire team leader again, I became that much more effective.
Okay.
But he saw something in me, and that comes into the mentoring part.
Right. Okay, but I would tell you that that's pretty typical, though, right? Struggling?
It depends. I mean, but see, that's where a good squad leader and a good platoon sergeant will mentor those Marines. When they come in, you size everybody up. And then you've got to do those mentoring as soon as they come in, not wait till they become a fire team.
Okay, I'm with you. But my point is that the average corporal, right, is not going to be mature enough as a leader to intervene in this, right? And again, mentoring certainly is a piece of it, but I would say, I don't know, I don't even know how to assign it a percentage. I would say it would be the atypical corporal that walks into a group of Lance Corporals or hear them plotting what they're going to do tonight and says, yeah, that shit's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree to a point. I mean, it is tough. I mean, because you just became, you were a Lance Corporal and now you're a corporal again. But again, that goes even back to the platoon sergeant. We're typically going to be a sergeant. That's the way to stop it. I mean, it's not going to be foolproof. There's going to be some cracks in the system, but that's the way to solve it. You've got to make the squad leaders do their job.
Okay. And if they don't and it happens, should they be impacted on their fitness report? Because until there's consequences that go with lack of supervision, because we all hear everything your unit does or fails to do, right? But so you failed to supervise. Yeah. You failed to supervise. These guys hazed. It's going to be mentioned in your fitness report.
Agreed. It should be held accountable.
Okay, let me read you an email. I completely disagree with this discussion this morning. It's like a drill instructor telling me, this is from an officer, that they cannot discipline the recruit by following the rules in the recruit guide and the SOP. Taking it upon yourself to initiate or bring additional pain and harassment because you feel that it's justified is hazing. And that's the reason you have SOPs. What is hazing to one Marine might just be a slug to another. Rules and SOPs are established for this. I don't understand what he's disagreeing with. I completely disagree with the discussion this morning. It's like a drill instructor telling me that they cannot discipline the recruit following the rules. Well, no, that's what we're talking about is hazing, though. So we're talking about not following the rules to begin with. And who's going to stop it? And I guess my point is that as officers, we can make all the statements that we want to.
Correct.
But the connecting rod to the supervision and the whole expect what you inspect is going to be a platoon sergeant and a squad leader.
And correct.
They know the criminals that will do this shit in their squad, yes or no?
Yes, exactly.
They do.
You definitely know who the ones who are leaning that direction. That's a given.
Hey, Mac, when you did one of those shows about crossing the international dateline, they made me want to be a boy back then. And I never wanted to be a boy. So does this still exist anymore? Was that hazing? Officers participated, right? And the ones with a grudge would really get at you? Well, I only know my experience. I know my son just went a couple months ago or a month ago, went through, but I think it's pretty tightly monitored by the Navy now. But you could see it was situations like that, and not on ships like carriers, and not on ships that had larger populations, but on ships that had smaller populations. I mean, you heard some crazy stories about not crawling through garbage, but eating garbage. Okay? Not Tabasco sauce injected, like, you know, squirted at your eyes, okay? But squirted down your throat and, you know, and just that it becomes sadistic. So my point in preventing this, you know, if the officers are participating, it's going to be pretty bland, okay?
Yeah, that's a given.
Because they skew to be responsible, okay, or afraid to get in trouble, one of them, which is all the same thing. So, but when you get the gifted enlisted people together, and there's not a whole lot of supervision, and they decide, yeah, we're gonna get real with this. That's when bad stuff happens, and that's when people get hurt for life. They get injured and put out of the Marine Corps. And so to me, this whole issue of hazing, you know, we as officers, we can follow the SOP. You know, I don't disagree with that. We can say what the commandant says. But it still happens, and it's been going on for a long time. So what's the key to actually eliminating it? And I think until there's a consequence for your lack of attention to your and here's another email that I think is probably asked the question better than I'm asking it. Mac, I'm curious, has Master Guns ever seen any of this shit go on in a unit that has a strong platoon sergeant?
No.
Why?
Because you go back to the first word you just said a few sentences ago, supervision. The person had oversight. He had leadership, and everybody knew what the rules and regulations were, and he enforced those rules.
And if you have a strong platoon sergeant and you defy him, what happens?
Oh, God, that's like a death sentence. And I've seen that. You defy the platoon sergeant, it's like death.
And so, to me, that's the key. It is the death sentence.
That is the key.
He owns you, and he will make you pay.
Oh, yeah. And embarrass a platoon sergeant? That ain't happening. Yeah. And that unit, that platoon's his, and he is not going to let anything happen to that platoon.
Okay, so the key is a strong platoon sergeant. Interesting.
Correct.
Okay, the final question is this, general question. Is there anything that I have not asked you about the whole hazing thing that you want people to know?
No, I think you answered it. I mean, it's always going to be there, but if we're going to minimize the effect on the Marine Corps, it comes down to strong leadership. That's the way to minimize these problems. It's always going to be there. You can't stamp it out completely, but with strong leaders, that's how you do things.
All right. Strong leaders. But strong leaders, and somebody got to be held accountable if hazing happens, right?
Well, exactly. But, see, that's like anything. You got to hold Marines accountable.
So as a sergeant, what happens if it's done vindictively because I know that you're going to get impacted, your career is going to be impacted, and I hate you because of the way you treated me, so I'm going to haze these guys to get back at you, and I'm going to make sure people find out about it? Or is that too crazy?
No, I'm sure that probably happened, but, I mean, it still goes back. A strong platoon sergeant treats his Marines with respect, but also holds them to a high standard. And I had one colonel mention this thing, and I always liked what he said, because if we're, say we're an elite organization, then we need to be elite, and we don't do hazing, because that destroys the unit cohesion. And when you have individuals like that, that destroys that unit cohesion.
Okay. Here's from a friend of mine who was a battalion commander. Now he's off to doing greater things. I asked him last night. I told my Marines it was an act of cowardice. I visited the barracks nearly every weekend. I made my officers and staff NCOs do the same. I let them know how much I love my guys, so they'd feel like they were messing with me. Repeatedly told them to be men. I tried to challenge them every step of the way. I hope that makes sense. But that's from that's from the battalion commander level.
But he did say something, which he said, I encourage my officers and my staff NCOs to visit the barracks.
Yeah.
Not just in the daytime, but go there on the weekends when the Marines are doing what Marines do.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit, though.
What's that?
I think that's bullshit. Look, we have duty NCOs, and not because I don't want to be convenient, because I'll go down there. But we have duty NCOs, right? We have squad leaders, right? We have platoon sergeants, yeah. Right? If we've got a problem, I can tell you it's not going to be cured. It's not going to be cured by making people go down down there on the weekends.
No.
All right? Because the Lance criminals, look, they know, right? All they got to do is put somebody out on the balcony to watch the parking lot. Okay? If we're doing it. These guys aren't going to sneak up on us in our barracks.
Well, no, but going to the barracks on the weekends or at night isn't going to solve the problem. That has to be done way in advance. But going back to what I said, a strong platoon sergeant with strong squad leaders make the unit that more effective. You want the unit to work together, not have one person who's been hazed along the way. This isn't piled from Full Metal Jacket or anything like that. But, I mean, you want the unit to be worked together as a cohesive unit. And a strong leader always and holds Marines accountable for your actions.
Got it. All right. Tell everybody where Master Gunner Sergeant John Ubaldi, United States Marine Corps, retired. Tell everybody where they can find your work.
You can go to UbaldiReports.com or you can go on Facebook and just type in Ubaldi Reports and you'll find me.
Okay. I'm going to bring a whole bunch of enlisted guys on, a whole variety of ranks, and I'm going to ask them the same questions. And then I'll bring you back on and tell you if you were right or wrong.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
you're gonna get graded. All right, man. No, it's just we're doing live research. All right,
that's fine. It would be interesting to get somebody who was like a corporal or a lance corporal and say, how would they stop hazing, and what were their things? Because that's what the Marine Corps needs to do, is get these guys' input.
Right, I agree with you. But I will tell you this: the emailer asked the question. Right? Have you ever seen this where you saw a strong platoon sergeant? And the answer is no. Why? Because they won't defy him.
Exactly.
They won't spit in. If he tells them not to do it, they won't spit in his face.
Uh-uh.
That ain't happening.
Because they know, it's not that he did it out of fear. They know that there's a consequence to their action.
Well, no, there is a little bit of fear there, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, my dad spanked me, right? My mom spanked me with a wooden stick. Okay, she got the belt after me too. Did my parents hate? Was I afraid of my parents? No, they loved me. Was I afraid to defy my parents? Yeah, I was. Was that fear healthy? Was that fear healthy for me? Yeah, it was still fear though. You know, oh, that's bad. No, it's not. Your kids ought to be afraid of you.
It was a healthy fear that you knew there. But see, right. My dad whipped me, but there was a consequence to my action.
Right,
I knew how far I could go in a left and right lateral limit.
Right, no, but my point my point is that fear is not a bad thing. People get all their panties in a bunch, and they're like, oh, you don't want your kids to be afraid of you. I do. At midnight, when they're saying, hey, I'm going to call and say I'm spending the night, right, at your house, and we're going to go get more drunk, and they look at my kid, and he says, yeah, I ain't doing that. Why not, man? Don't be a pussy. Yeah, you don't live with crazy on top of crazy on top of crazy, okay? The last thing I need to do with Mount Vesuvius is wake his dumb ass up, okay? I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm out. See you later. All right, I got to run. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right, Jess. Talk to you later.
All right, there you have it. John Ubaldi, Master Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Wes O'Donnell is going to join us next. We're going to talk about he is the managing editor of a website called In Military, Relevant Insights by the Experts. How about that? From American Military University. Sounds like All Marine Radio, Relevant Insight from Insiders. The real reason, the article that caught my eye was an article, it's a great article, called The Real Reason the U.S. Navy Keeps Hitting Merchant Vessels. You can check it out right now, inmilitary.com. And I would recommend, the article is outstanding. And the reason you should read it is, if you don't think the Marine Corps has similar issues, then we're all kidding ourselves. So, Wes O'Donnell is going to join us next here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.